I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. On the program today, a couple of cast members, in fact, the two major leading cast members from Rodgers and Hammerstein's musical Cinderella, which is being put on by the Illini Union Board at the University of Illinois. It's their fall musical, happening on the 14th and 15th. And we also have two of their directors with us as well. We'll hear some live songs in our studio. And then a later portion of the program, Milton Allen, who is director of bands at Eastern Illinois University, talks about the Eastern Illinois University Wind Symphony's Veterans Day concert, which will actually take place the night before, tomorrow night, in the Doudna Fine Arts Center. And we'll hear some samples of those of that band's performances. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Choice.
Sure. There's actually a body above us. We're all sponsored by the Illini Union Board, which is a group of students that are selected by advisors within the union organization. And how they pick the musical is they come up with five or six suggestions. We have a producer who kind of heads us and is our liaison to the board. And he goes ahead and proposes five or six shows. He discusses different options with the staff, the current staff, with the cast members to see what kind of ideas we have regarding talent level that we have, you know, just different kinds of things, what we think will sell to students, what we think might sell to the community. He presents those options to the board, and then they're the ones who actually vote on what the show is for the semester.
So is the staff chosen before the show is chosen?
No, the staff is chosen after the show is chosen.
So this conversation was with the union board staff.
Correct. Right. Correct.
So Cinderella then was chosen, and you guys, Aaron and Michael, you then decided to apply to do the direction. Is that how that goes?
Correct. Right. The show is normally chosen the semester before, and then right at the end of that semester. So in our case, it was in May, at the end of the spring term. We all went in and applied, and there was an interview process. You submit a resume, a cover letter, you go through all that, and then it's selected based on that.
Any idea how competitive a situation it is?
It depends on any given semester, any given show. I know, for instance, last semester we did West Side Story, and of course the orchestra director was what everyone wanted to be. We had, you know, many, many applicants. And then other semesters, it really depends on the show and what you're looking for. So I think, I know, I as the director, I'm chosen first, and then I interview the rest of the applicants. I think we had about 30 applicants for 15 positions.
So that's not a bad percentage. You said you just did West Side Story in the spring?
Correct.
That was actually the last one. I did one of the IUB productions.
Okay.
Quite some years ago, and was the orchestra director for that. So
yeah.
I got the coveted spot.
Yeah. So Aaron was our orchestra director, and I vocal directed that show. So
yeah, that's a great show to do.
Yeah.
And incredibly hard for all of the players involved.
Definitely.
And that was kind of cool. Anyway, the interesting thing about Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella is it has sort of the rarity in that it was written for television.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it had been put on twice because when I was a kid, I don't even know they show this anymore. It used to be on with Leslie Ann Warren was in the role of Cinderella. Does that still come on TV anymore?
I don't know that it's on TV anymore, but I know there's a DVD release of it that I've certainly watched, and you can watch the entire thing on YouTube.
Oh, the whole thing?
The whole thing is up there in separate parts, yeah.
Uh-huh. Probably not
sure
the world's
not
greatest.
Yeah.
And then I had not realized that there was a third version done with Brandy in the role of Cinderella,
mm-hmm.
and I have a list of the cast here somewhere.
Produced by Whitney Houston, and it had Brandy and Whoopi Goldberg, a bunch of different famous people just recently in the last decade or so.
And our Cinderella has just arrived, as a matter of fact. Molly Sheehan is taking her place in the studio. We'll hear both her and Prince Charming sing a little bit. But anyway, so it was originally for TV and then for the stage. Have you noticed anything that, as a result of that, presents any particular challenge for the stage?
Sure. It's certainly written for TV, and a lot of the script was not necessarily adapted in a way that transfers to the stage very well. So it has been a difficult process to kind of work through those challenges. There's so many special effects that in TV, you know, you can cut the camera away and have the godmother appear all of a sudden. But on the stage, we can't necessarily do that. We have to figure out some kind of special effect to make that happen. The writing itself is kind of written so that it cuts from one scene to another, and it's, you know, there's not really a transition between the scenes. So it's been a challenge to figure out how we can make those flow together and make everything work.
Any idea who did the adaptation? Did Rodgers and Hammerstein adapt it for the stage?
Hammerstein, I'm not sure who did the adaptation for the stage. I know Hammerstein wrote the original book for the TV production, but I'm not certain who did the...
Just curious. So they didn't apparently think it all through.
I don't feel that they did, but it doesn't affect the show. The show is still wonderful.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Well, I've always loved the music for this show. Rodgers and Hammerstein have written many wonderful musicals, and as I said, these are songs that I recognize as a kid.
Sure.
Well, since we have both Prince Charming, I mean, you must get some ribbing from your colleagues for that.
Oh, believe me. I mean, I just played in a soccer tournament this weekend, and my teammates found out that I was Prince Charming, I really got an earful. But
is this something you've tried to keep secret?
At first, I made a few attempts, but I've reached the point where I'm having so much fun with it, and I think it's something that I have to. I'm proud of, and I think
you might as well be.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. This is Dotan Haim, who is. Did I say your last name right?
That's right.
Who is in the role of the prince, and Molly Sheehan has just joined us, who is in the role of Cinderella. Thanks for coming in.
Hi.
How'd you do on your exam?
I hope I did really well.
You don't have a gut feeling, one way or the other.
Impossible things are happening every day, so hopefully it went well.
Nicely quoted. Yeah, exactly. Well, why don't we launch into a song? Who's gonna go first, and what's the song?
Sure. Let's go ahead and we'll sing the 10 Minutes Ago duet.
This is from Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, the two lead characters from the Illini Union Board's production, which is happening on the 14th and 15th of this month, very soon.
10 minutes ago I saw you. I looked up when you came through the door. My head started reeling. You gave me the feeling the room had no ceiling or floor. 10 minutes ago I met you, and we murmured our how do you do's. I wanted to ring out the bells and fling out my arms and to sing out the news. I have found her, she's an angel with the dust of the stars in her eyes. We are dancing, we are flying, and she's taking me back to the skies. In the arms of my love, I'm flying over mountain and meadow and glen. And I like it so well that for all I can tell, I may never come down again. I may never come down to earth again. I've told you how I feel. You haven't described your feelings.
Well, they're very much the same as yours. I have found him. flying over mountain and meadow and glen. And I like it so well that for all I can tell, I may never come down again. I may never come down to earth again.
Oh, I like that song. You know, one of the things I wondered about, actually before I ask that question, listeners who are just tuning in, a reminder that you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And we're with members of the cast and the directorial staff of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, being put on Friday and Saturday?
Saturday and Sunday, actually.
Saturday, Sunday at the Follinger Auditorium on the Quad at the University of Illinois. The Illini Union Board, and 2 o'clock and 6 p.m. both days? No.
It's 2 o'clock and 7:30 on Saturday the 14th, and it's 2 o'clock on Sunday the 15th.
There, I see that the line. I was reading the wrong line. one of the things that's curious to me about doing a show like Cinderella for college students now is it's such an old show, mm-hmm. and it's such an old story. And I'm curious, particularly from Dotan and Molly, how that resonates with you. Is this music that you just have liked anyway, or how does it fit in with your own musical tastes? You can answer from any angle there that you want.
I've been doing musical theater for a very long time, and I've encountered a lot of other Rodgers and Hammerstein shows, and I think that the music is really beautiful, and I think that a classic musical is something that is enjoyable for all ages. And especially for college students, I think that this semester what we've worked really hard to do is to make this version of Cinderella not like anything that anyone has seen before. And although it's set in a time period of the Renaissance, it's very realistic in all the characters and the way that everyone delivers their lines and sings the songs, that we've worked very hard to make it relatable to people of all ages.
And, even though it's written a half a century ago, it's about people our age having a lot of the same feelings that we're having at our age of, the difficulty of finding love, all this stuff. We all go through this. It's stuff that we still go through, even though it was written such a long time ago. So,
what are some of the ways that you've been trying to make this, as you said, Molly, not like any other production?
Well, I think that so many times that when people think of Cinderella, they think of the Disney characters, and they think of Cinderella as a flighty princess who is a dreamer and has her head in the clouds. And although we still have some of those elements in our show, I personally have never played the role of a nice character before. So I'm playing something that's very different for me, and so this is my own take on it with my own personality kind of added in. So she's still the fairy tale princess everyone knows, but she's a little bit more sassy.
What, do you usually play mean girls?
Yes. Always. I'm always the wicked witch.
And why is that?
You know, I'm not really sure. I think it's just because I'm very loud. And I'm not afraid to do anything on stage.
I would say it's mostly that she just has no fear of just completely committing to something, so she's probably more likely to get cast in a character role. Mm-hmm. But because we were looking for someone who wasn't going to just read the lines as any Cinderella would, we were looking for someone who was really going to make a character out of Cinderella that we could really watch and enjoy and that we wouldn't be bored by. I think that's why we chose Molly and why Molly hasn't typically been cast in these roles, but I think in this case it really works.
What kind of reaction do you get from your student colleagues, Dotan, besides the fact that, you know, you're Prince Charming, about this particular show? Do they say, oh, why are you doing that? Or, oh, what a great show. Or they're just going to come and see you maybe because they're your friend. Or, again, I'm thinking a little bit about the contemporary musical, this versus contemporary musicals like Rent or any of a number of other things.
Well, I think, one interesting thing about this musical is it does have the contemporary aspect of, it was portrayed in the Brandy version, and a lot of my friends do know I mean, they know some of the music from this show. They've encountered it before, and along with the fact that they want to come see the show because they know people in it, they also, they're familiar with the music, they're familiar with the story, and I think they, that's part of the reason they're so interested in coming to see it.
I haven't seen the brand new version of it. I remember I was, I don't know why I didn't. I remember I intended to. Is the music all the same?
Yeah, I think
for the most part, there's a couple songs that are added. For example, Bernadette Peters makes a cameo appearance in the film, and they stole a song that was actually shelved from South Pacific, and they gave it to her to sing in this this version just so she could kind of have a song to sing. But the music, nothing's taken away from the Brandy version, just a couple songs are added in.
And that was Aaron Kaplan, who's the music director for this production. Aaron, what are some of the challenges you faced working with the students or the music or the orchestra? Have you worked with the orchestra yet?
Yes. The orchestra, we have a 33-piece orchestra, and they're brilliant. It's great to work with such gifted musicians who I'm really honored that I can call them my friends, not just my colleagues, but my friends. And I say the challenge with a Rodgers and Hammerstein show is the orchestrations are so rich and it's so lush. It's just not a style that's really written a lot anymore these days. A really beefy string section. And I think the challenge is finding all of the magical moments, all the nuance in the orchestration, and making sure that comes across in the scene. Now, usually in a show like this, there's also a lot of underscoring. And underscoring is, much like film underscoring, is very important, in which it's really the safety net of the scene. It's the composer's intent to convey whatever message they want to convey to the audience subconsciously, because the audience's attention is usually focused on the dialogue. So I think bringing, I guess, the magic and the nuance of that underscore out is a challenge, and something that I really love to do in a classic show like this.
Underscore is where there's music underneath the dialogue.
Correct.
Yeah. What's our next song?
In My Own Little Corner, sung by Cinderella.
This is Molly Sheehan in the role of Cinderella for the Illini Union Board's production of Rodgers and Hammerstein Show, which is this weekend at the Follinger Auditorium on the Quad in Urbana.
I'm as mild and as meek as a mouse. When I hear a command, I obey. But I know of a spot in my house where no one can stand in my way. In my own little corner, in my own little chair, I can be whatever I want to be. To me, I am in the moon or princess or a milkmaid. I'm the greatest prima donna in Milan. I'm an heiress who has always had her silk made by her own flock of silkworms in Japan. Game I can play with a cool and confident kind of air. Just as long as I stay in my own little corner, all alone in my own little chair. Whatever I want to be, I'm a slave in Calcutta, I'm a queen in Peru, I'm a mermaid dancing upon the sea, I'm a huntress on an African safari. It's a dangerous type. type of sport, and yet it's fun. In the night I sally forth to seek my quarry, and I find I forgot to bring my gun. I am lost in the jungle all alone and unarmed when I meet a lioness in her lair. Then I'm glad to be back in my own little corner, all alone in my own little chair.
Molly Sheehan as Cinderella. In the Illini Union Board's production of that Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. Shows are this Saturday and Sunday. The Saturday performance is at 2 and 7:30. The Sunday matinee is at 2 o'clock. These are on the Follinger Auditorium on the Quad at the University of Illinois in Urbana, never to be confused with the Follinger Great Hall at the Krannert Center. You will end up in a very different place and probably hear a very different program if you show up there. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and these folks are live in their studio with us. This portion of the show is made possible with support from Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal in Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com. Aaron Kaplan is the music director for the show, and also with us Michael Siller, who is the stage director, and Dotan Haim, who is in the role of Prince Charming. Aaron, you mentioned that you're going to have this 33-piece orchestra. Where are you putting them?
We are putting them, if you're on the stage, it's stage left in the wings and a little behind the stage as well.
So they do all fit on there somehow.
They do all fit. It's a little cramped. We'll become very good friends by the end of the run.
Yeah, I guess so. You said you're friends already. I guess that'll be capitalized on. The Illini Union Board always does two musicals a year, right? And this, the fall and the spring, and the spring one is done in the cavern that is the Assembly Hall. What are some of the considerations in choosing one for the fall and one for the spring? Any idea?
I think the biggest consideration is just the space itself. Follinger is much smaller than Assembly Hall, clearly. Assembly Hall, you know, we get thousands and thousands of people in. It's Mom's Day weekend. So normally we pick a show that will appeal to mothers, something classic, West Side Story, My Fair Lady, something like that. In the fall, this year we are on Dad's Day weekend, but that's not necessarily always the case. So we kind of pick a show that fits the space much better. We always have to consider that there is no pit in Follinger, which is always a problem, trying to figure out where we can fit the orchestra. And I think this might be I'm sure this is the biggest orchestra we've ever put in Follinger, but we couldn't not do it, so.
Yeah, you don't want to, for Rodgers and Hammerstein, you don't want to have synthetic strings.
Absolutely not.
It's just not going to
work. In any show, never synthetic strings.
Well, but it is done.
Oh, yes. It is.
And you can get away with it better with some of the more modern shows, some of which are actually written to have electronic strings, so yeah. That's a different concept. And probably if people heard real strings, they'd think it would sound weird with some of those musicals. But this is not one of those. Coming up in the later portion of the show, before too long actually, Milton Allen, who is director of bands at Eastern Illinois University, is going to tell us about their Veterans Day concert, which is happening tomorrow night in the Doudna Fine Arts Center on the EIU campus in Charleston. It's a rather unique sounding program that he talks quite eloquently about. So that's coming up in a little bit. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. And there is not exactly a host of characters in this show, as I recall, but a number of really interesting ones, including not least the stepsisters.
Yep.
what kind of students have you cast in this role?
We've got some wonderful students. They are just fantastic. They have huge personalities that they have off stage and on stage. I'm actually very excited to say that one of them is a first semester freshman. She's never done anything with us before. She's, you know, new to campus, and she's just doing wonderfully. Yeah. She's fantastic, and they have no inhibitions. They're always trying new things. They've been hilarious from day one, and they've just continued to add. They found out what works for them, what makes the other cast members laugh, what makes the staff laugh, and they've just kind of gone with that and continued with it.
So the stepsisters really are the comic relief in this show.
Oh, definitely. There's quite a few. The king and queen also serve as comic relief sometimes, just because Cinderella and the prince are kind of heavy in that they meet each other all of a sudden and fall in love right away and sing a couple songs, and you have to break that up somehow. And so the stepsisters and the stepmother, the king and queen, and the fairy godmother actually is quite funny in this production also. So they do a nice job of balancing that.
So you have a good ballroom dancing chorus?
We do, yeah. We have a great, there's a 4-minute long waltz section, and they're doing a wonderful job with it. Our choreographer, Rachel Friedman, has done some wonderful things with them, and she's got that cast of 27 just flying across the stage.
Is everybody in these productions a student?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I remember when I did West Side Story, mm-hmm. I was not.
Okay.
As a music director, and I remember thinking that was a little odd, but
yeah, we have all
so
of
I didn't
our
know if that ever happened
all of our staff members, all of our orchestra, all of our cast members, all of our crew. Everyone is a student.
Producer
is a student.
As well.
We do have an advisor who is not a student, but he just kind of plays a hands off role and just kind of supervises and makes sure that we're all taking care of things and doing what we need to do.
Not getting the university into
exactly
more hot water.
Sure.
than it has been in of late. Well, we probably have time for another song.
Okay.
Which is going to be, I'm guessing, one of Prince Charming solo, or is
it'll
it another
actually,
duet?
It's going to be another duet.
Okay.
It's the Do I Love You Because You're Beautiful, although it's mostly his solo, but she does come in at the end and sing a verse to him.
Fair enough, since she had her solo bit.
Do I love you because you're beautiful, or are you beautiful because I love you? Am I making believe I see in you a girl too lovely to be really true? Do I want you because you're wonderful, or are you wonderful because I want you? Are you the sweet invention of a lover's dream, or are you really as wonderful as you seem?
Maybe you are just imagining me. Maybe I am imagining you.
That is such a mushy song. Do you always think it's just bizarre that these people just fall in love just like that? I mean, that doesn't happen on college campuses, does it? Never did when I was on there.
I mean,
love at first sight kind of thing.
It is, and I mean, obviously on stage it's a little bit different. The time frame goes quickly, and you sort of have to, a challenge is portraying how you would actually fall in love We're trying to bring more of a these people have a chance aspect to the show, rather than they're just so immediately in love and everything's happily ever after. It's like, yes, we do fall in love so quickly, but it's more like the audience needs to feel that these people have a chance. They can fall in love and be happy in the long run.
It's Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. Great show. It's going to be put on by the Illini Union Board this Saturday and Sunday on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana in Follinger Auditorium on the Quad. The shows are Saturday at 2 o'clock and 7:30, Sunday at 2 o'clock. And tickets are available how?
You can buy tickets at Ticket Central in the Illini Union or through the Assembly Hall box office, and tickets are also available at the door.
And it's the Assembly Hall. I'm not sure what the web address is. I did know, but you can certainly find it on the Illinois.edu will get you there, Illinois.edu. And my guests on this portion of Live and Local have been, since we're about to say goodbye, Michael Siller, who is the stage director, Aaron Kaplan is the music director, and Michael was also playing keyboard for us, I should add. Molly Sheehan is in the role of Cinderella. Dotan Haim is Prince Charming. And I appreciate you coming in and joining us on the show, sharing some of the songs.
Thank you
for having us.
And have a great show.
Thank you so much.
Break a leg, as they say. And next, Milton Allen of the Eastern Illinois University Wind Symphony about their Veterans Day concert. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's a selection from the Armenian Dances by Alfred Reed, played by the Eastern Illinois University Wind Symphony, directed by Milton Allen. And that body with that conductor is going to perform their, are going to perform their, what they hope will be a first annual Veterans Day concert tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Dowdna Fine Arts Center in Charleston. And I had a chance to talk with Milt Allen, I guess on Friday, about the concert and about what really sounds like a very touching nature of this particular concert. We'll hear more from the Wind Symphony in a little bit. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. But I started simply by asking Dr. Allen whether this concert was, the Veterans Day concert, whether it was already a tradition for them or whether it was something new.
We're going to make it. It hasn't been in the past, but I feel pretty strongly, and I think the ensemble certainly does now. But you know, given the part of the country that we're in the Midwest, and the kind of folks that, you know, the stuff that makes up good Midwesterners, I mean, certainly service to the country is an integral and proud part of that heritage, and we think it's a very, very important concert to do. So we're going to make it an annual concert.
So when you say the members of the ensemble, they think it's important now, meaning that maybe they didn't before playing the music or what?
Yeah, it's kind of been an interesting process. I mean, as we've done rehearsals and things, one of the things that we've gotten into more is obviously the historical background, not only surrounding the repertoire that we're doing, but wars themselves, World War II, the Vietnam War, and some of the influences and some of the figures involved. And it's one thing to read about those things; it's another thing to personalize them. And by personalizing them, what we found has happened with, for example, projections, pictures that we're projecting during parts of the performance, have really touched a lot of the musicians in the ensemble. In ways they didn't expect, and it has also generated conversations, not only among people in the ensembles, but among ensemble members and their families, grandfathers and fathers, and those kinds of things. And which is, I have to be honest, is something that I didn't expect. And I think it's brought it home a little more. I mean, the idea of service to the country and the idea of sacrifice in wartime or peacetime. So, yeah, I think I'd like to think that there's kind of a bigger awareness, maybe a bigger appreciation in each one's sense.
Since you said that some of this conversation has taken place around the repertoire itself, why don't we talk a little bit about the music and then some of the ways that's come up with the students?
Sure. Well, the repertoire that we selected, I mean, as an educational institution and a performance institution, I try to be cognizant of artistically, musically, what we want to say and what our students participate in and what they learn. And actually, the idea of the Veterans Day concert allows us to encompass a lot of those concepts. So, for example, the first half of the program, we're doing two cornerstone works of the repertoire. One is the Darius Milhaud Suite Francaise, which is a five-movement work that Milhaud wrote for Leeds Music. And the five movements depict the five provinces of France where the Americans and the Allies fought with the French underground to liberate. And Milhaud, being a Frenchman, had left France just before the German invasion. He was on the list of Jewish artists, and so was fearing for his life, and took a position at Mills College, I believe, in Oakland, California. And during the 4 or 5 years when he was there, Leeds Music had approached him about writing a piece of music for a new series that they were doing that was focused at collegiate and high school groups. And, of course, being the proud Frenchman, shortly after France was liberated, you know, the spirited Frenchman said, "I know exactly what I'm going to write. I'm going to write something so that the rest of the world and young musicians will always remember the sacrifices that were made." So we've discussed some of Milhaud's background, and you know, he had 20 close friends, including his two parents as well, died in concentration camps during World War II. We discussed the five provinces in particular and what had gone on in those provinces as well. And so the repertoire in that sense really allowed us to tie together a lot of different kinds of musical, non-musical concepts, integrative learning, which were all artists, I think, are big fans of. The second piece that's on the first half of the program is actually the first Vietnam Memorial musical piece written. David Gillingham, who was a prominent wind composer especially, had written this piece kind of, I think, in part to purge maybe some of his own personal demons. It's quite a touching piece, and I say touching in a very, like, in some ways, a sad way. It's not a beautiful piece. It's a piece that doesn't try to question our involvement, but it's a piece that just simply examines the sacrifices made by the people lost and fallen in that war. So we discussed, beyond the music, I mean, we discussed about our involvement in Vietnam and what it was like in Vietnam, a different type of war in some regards as well. We discussed our country as veterans came back, what that was like. I've had the great opportunity to talk to many veterans over the course of this semester, trying to get their perspectives of Vietnam and what it was like. In fact, some of the slide presentations that we're doing during that particular piece, I've had a few veterans in to comment about that to see if I was on target or not. I was concerned about being exploitive and condescending and those kinds of things. I didn't want to do that. And it was great feedback because they said, no, it wasn't like that. You know, there was no one waiting for us when we came off the planes and these giant hugs. You know, one veteran said, look, man, we got home. We want to get out of our uniforms as quick as we can and just try to blend in. And some said, try to forget. And our students had no idea. I mean, they really didn't have any idea necessarily that, gosh, you know, we thought it was you go to war and it's this noble thing and you come back and it's open arms. And, of course, those experiences are different for every person, not only from the Vietnam War, but in comparing the conflicts that the United States has been in. So just kind of a lot of extra things outside the music that I think without question influenced the music and the performance of it.
That's Dr. Milton Allen, who is director of bands at the Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. He directs the Wind Symphony in their Veterans Day concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center in Charleston. The program is called Call to Duty, and he was speaking about a work by David Gillingham called Heroes Lost and Fallen, which ends the first half of the show. And we'll come back to that conversation, which I had with Professor Allen on Friday. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I thought I would play a movement from the first part that will be on that concert, the first piece that will be on that concert, the Suite Française of Darius Milhaud, which is about the various regions of France. And this is the final movement representing Provence, a performance here by the Cincinnati College Conservatory Wind Symphony, conducted by Eugene Corporon. Was the final movement from the Suite Française of Darius Milhaud, representing the region of Provence, and a performance here by the Cincinnati Wind Symphony at the College Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati, Eugene Corporon conducting. You can hear the entire work performed by the Eastern Illinois University Wind Symphony under the direction of Milton Allen tomorrow night at 7:30 as part of their Veterans Day concert called Call to Duty at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center on the campus of EIU in Charleston. And we continue with the conversation that I had with Professor Allen on Friday about the rest of that concert.
Okay, so that's the first half of the show.
First half, right. And I tell you, after the Gillingham, we all need a break. Again, I've taken a little bit of artistic liberty to provide a media along with the presentation of both of those pieces on the first half of the program. I should add, the Mio, Dan Cruz, who's our director of publicity here at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center, Dan is a World War II aficionado, and Dan has some absolutely amazing photographs of modern-day France and some of these provinces that he's put together a moving projection for us. And of course, the images that we're associating with the Gillingham are not the most, oftentimes, the most comfortable images in the world. But after that first half, we take a nice intermission where folks can go out. We have a display of World War II paraphernalia that will be in the lobby, as well as one of the things that we're doing for this program is inviting anyone to bring letters or articles of clothing or comments or pictures, and we're inviting them to put them up on a makeshift 4x8 foam wall that will have spray painted black to share those with other people, as well as we're going to have some tables set up. We had one gentleman who called and said, listen, I lost my son. Could I bring his display of medals in a 20x24-inch, you know, case? And absolutely, if you feel comfortable doing that, we'd love to have it. So during intermission, there'll be some things out, we're hoping, out in the lobby for folks to look at. As we come back in for the second part of the program, we're going to open with taps in honor of those who have lost, not only in the line of service, but those who have also survived, and since passed away. And beginning with taps, we're also going to be projecting the names of, again, soldiers who either lost their lives in battle in defense of the country, and those also who served in peacetime, or those, again, who were in battle and survived, but, again, have left us. And we're just going to be scrolling those names. All those names are taken from phone calls and emails that we're receiving from towns around, for example, Charleston. And we'll take them from anywhere. But, of course, the majority of our folks right now are kind of east central Illinois. And there'll be a couple pieces that we'll be doing during that as well. After taps, we're going to go into a wonderful piece called Each Time You Tell Their Story with narration, just a bit of narration. And by Poet Laureate of Pennsylvania, Dr. Hazo. Samuel Hazo is the composer of this piece. And then we'll close that portion of the program with The Missing Man by a composer named Jerker Johansson, which is a reference to the flyover at a military Air Force funeral where there's one wingman that's out of formation there. And that has been particularly an interesting portion of our program because wow, Kevin, we've gotten over 160 names of folks who've served from central Illinois, and it has been absolutely touching, and I never thought how difficult it would be to open my email. But you see these people who have emailed and said, include my brother, include my uncle, and they simply supply the name and if they were in the conflict, which conflict, and what town they're from. And it's staggering. I mean, it's very, very, very humbling. And the band saw that for the first time, as a matter of fact, today. And it was quite an experience. So after that part of the program, then we want to celebrate the living. We want to celebrate those who are with us and what they've done. And we'll be doing kind of a classic Duty, Honor, Country, taken from a speech of Douglas MacArthur, and I think around 1962, and with narration, just a wonderful testament to the value of service. And after that, the good old standard Armed Forces salute, and of course we want to recognize all the veterans that are in the audience. And then we're going to be closing with America the Beautiful, and we have an unbelievable tenor on, or baritone on faculty, Jay Ivey, who is just tremendous, and Jay is going to be joining the Wind Symphony to sing that finale. And we had our first rehearsal with Jay just 2 days ago, and oh my goodness. I know the ensemble was pretty excited about it. And, you know, there may be a surprise after the concert as well.
There
might be a little something extra.
You were talking about the list of community members who have passed either in action or after action and so on. Are you still taking names for that?
Yes, we are. In fact, we're going to be taking names through Monday. The concert's Tuesday, and we'll finalize the names and the scrolling on Tuesday. So absolutely.
So you want to give the contact for them to do that?
Sure. There's two things they can do. They can email me at MD, like medical doctor, MD Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at EIU.edu. It's MD Allen at EIU.edu. Or they can simply call our university band's office at 217-581-2799. And what we'd like from them is the name of the individual who's no longer with us, what conflict or around what conflict they served, and what town they're from. And we'll be more than happy to include them in our as we project these names.
We're talking with Milt Allen, who is director of bands at Eastern Illinois University, about the Eastern Illinois University Wind Symphony's Veterans Day concert, which is in fact the day before Veterans Day, tomorrow as we air this interview, Tuesday at 7:30 in the Dowdna Fine Arts Center on the EIU campus in Charleston. And as Milt said, they hope this will be the first of an annual event, and has been rather meaningful to the students performing in it, and sounds like it should be very meaningful to all the audience members as well.
It should, and I should mention too, Kevin, that any veterans with proof of service are admitted free to this concert. VFW members, you know, wear the hat, wear some article, anything. It could be, you know, the military ID card, but any veterans, past, present, serving now, have served, we'd like you to be our guests for free. Just show us something that says, yep, I was a veteran.
Thank you very much for joining us on the show.
You bet. My pleasure.
Milton Allen, director of bands at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, talking about the EIU Wind Symphony's Veterans Day concert taking place tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Dowdna Fine Arts Center on the EIU campus in Charleston. And that conversation took place on Friday. The concert is tomorrow night. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713. Here is the EIU Wind Symphony, led by Milt Allen, in a very small portion of a piece called Blue Shades by Frank Tekeli.